We are beginning chapter 9 of Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix, called The Woes of Mrs. Weasley. Dumbledore's abrupt departure took Harry completely by surprise. Remember, they had just finished the hearing. He remained sitting where he was, in the chained chair, struggling with his feelings of shock and relief. The Wizengamot were all getting to their feet, talking, gathering up their papers and packing them away. Harry stood up. Nobody seemed to be paying him the slightest bit of attention, except the toad-like witch on Fudge's right, who was now gazing down on him instead of at Dumbledore. Ignoring her, he tried to catch Fudge's eye, or Madame Bones, wanting to ask whether he was free to go, but Fudge seemed quite determined not to notice Harry. Madame Bones was busy with her briefcase, so he took a few tentative steps toward the exit, and when nobody called him back, broke into a very fast run. He took the last few steps at a run, wrenched open the door, and almost collided with Mr. Weasley, who was standing right outside, looking pale and apprehensive. Dumbledore didn't say. "Cleared," Harry said, pulling the door closed behind him, "of all charges." By the way, this is something I have to complain about.
Yeah.
There was only one charge.
Yeah, okay. I'm with you.
She's trying to, like, be, like, legalese and formalese, you know? Mm-hmm. It's, like, it's ridiculous. There's only one charge. They wouldn't say cleared of all charges if there was only one charge. They would say cleared.
Also, I want to complain about Dumbledore being stupid right now.
Oh, what did he do?
He's not paying attention to Harry.
He's doing that on purpose, remember?
Yes, I know, but he shouldn't be.
Oh, yeah, that's probably true. But at least he is doing something he thinks is right, you know?
I know, but at the same time, it's not right.
Yeah, that's true.
He's not being smart about it.
Yeah, you're right, you're right. Beaming, Mr. Weasley seized Harry by the shoulders. "Harry, that's wonderful. Well, of course, they couldn't have found you guilty, not in the evidence. But even so, I can't pretend I wasn't..." But Mr. Weasley broke off because the courtroom had just opened. The Wizengamot were filing out. "Merlin's beard," said Weasley, wondering, pulling Harry aside to let them all pass. "You were tried by the full court?"
"I think so," said Harry quietly.
One or two of the passing wizards nodded to Harry as they passed, and a few, including Madame Bones, said, "Morning, Arthur," to Mr. Weasley, but most averted their eyes. Cornelius Fudge and the toad-like witch were almost the last to leave the dungeon. Fudge acted as though Mr. Weasley and Harry were part of the wall, but again, the witch looked almost appraisingly at Harry as she passed. Last of all to pass was Percy. Like Fudge, he completely ignored his father and Harry. He marched past, clutching a large roll of parchment and a handful of spare quills, his back rigid and nose in the air. Man, Percy's such a douche.
Yeah.
The lines around Mr. Weasley's mouth tightened slightly, but other than this, he gave no sign he had noticed his third son. "I'm going to take you straight back so you can tell the others the good news," he said, beckoning Harry forward as Percy's heels disappeared up the steps to the ninth level. "I'll drop you off on the way back to that toilet in Brenthal Green. Come on." "So what will you have to do about the toilet?" Harry asked, grinning. Everything suddenly seemed 5 times funnier than usual. It was starting to sink in. He was cleared. He was going back to Hogwarts. "Oh, it's a simple enough anti-jinx," said Mr. Weasley as they mounted the stairs. "But it's not so much having to repair the damage, it's more the attitude behind the vandalism, Harry. Muggle-baiting might strike some wizards as funny, but it's an expression of something much deeper and nastier. And I, for one..." But Mr. Weasley broke off in mid-sentence. They had just reached the ninth level corridor, and Cornelius Fudge was standing a few feet away from them, talking quietly to a tall man with sleek blonde hair and a pointed pale face. The second man turned at the sound of the footsteps. He, too, broke off in mid-conversation, his cold gray eyes narrowed and fixed upon Harry's face. "Well, well, well, Patronus Potter," said Lucius Malfoy coolly. Harry felt winded, as though he had just walked into something heavy. He had seen those cool gray eyes through slits in a Death Eater's hood, and last heard that man's voice jeering in a dark graveyard while Lord Voldemort tortured him. He could not believe that Lucius Malfoy dared look him in the face. He could not believe that he was here in the Ministry of Magic, or that Cornelius Fudge was talking to him, and Harry had told Fudge mere weeks ago that Malfoy was a Death Eater. "The Ministry was just telling me about your lucky escape, Potter," drawled Mr. Malfoy. "Quite astonishing, the way you continue to wriggle out of very tight holes. Snake-like, in fact." Mr. Weasley gripped Harry's shoulder in warning. "Yeah," said Harry. "Yeah, I'm good at escaping." Lucius Malfoy raised his eyes to Mr. Weasley's face. "And Arthur Weasley, too. What are you doing here, Arthur?" "I work here," said Mr. Weasley shortly. "Not here, surely," said Mr. Malfoy, raising his eyebrows and glaring up toward the door over Mr. Weasley's shoulder. "I thought you were up on the second floor. Don't you do something that involves sneaking Muggle artifacts home and bewitching them?" "No," said Mr. Weasley curtly, his fingers now biting into Harry's shoulder. "What are you doing here anyway?" said Harry to Miss Lucius. "I don't think private matters between myself and the minister are any concern of yours, Potter," said Malfoy, smoothing the front of his robes. Harry distinctly heard the gentle clinking of what sounded like a full pocket of gold. "Really, just because you are Dumbledore's favorite boy, you must not expect the same indulgence from the rest of us. Shall we go up to your office, then, minister?" "Certainly," said Fudge, turning his back on Harry and Mr. Weasley. "This way, Lucius." They strode off together, talking in low voices. Mr. Weasley did not let go of Harry's shoulder until they had disappeared into the lift. "Why wasn't he waiting outside Fudge's office if they've got business to do together?" Harry burst out furiously. "What was he doing down here?" "Trying to sneak down to the courtroom, if you ask me," said Mr. Weasley, looking extremely agitated as he glanced over his shoulder, as though making sure they could not be overheard. "Trying to find out whether you'd been expelled or not. I'll leave a note for Dumbledore when I drop you off. You have to know Malfoy's been talking to Fudge again." "What private business have they got together, anyway?" "Gold, I expect," said Mr. Weasley angrily. "Malfoy's been giving generously to all sorts of things for years. Gets him in with the right people. Then he can ask favors. Delay laws he doesn't walk past. Well, he's very well connected to Lucius Malfoy." The lift arrived. It was empty except for a flock of memos that flapped around Mr. Weasley's head as he pressed the button for the atrium, and the doors clanged shut. He waved them away, irritably. "Mr. Weasley," said Harry slowly, "if Fudge is meeting Death Eaters like Malfoy, be seeing them alone, how do we know he hasn't been put under the Imperius curse?" "Don't think it hasn't occurred to us, Harry," muttered Mr. Weasley. "But Dumbledore thinks Fudge is acting of his own accord at the moment, which, as Dumbledore says, is not a lot of comfort. Best not to talk about it just now, Harry." The doors slid open, and they stepped out into the now almost deserted atrium. Eric, the security man, was hidden away behind his Daily Prophet again. They walked past the golden fountains before Harry remembered. "Wait," he told Mr. Weasley, and pulled his money bag from his pocket. He turned back to the fountain. He looked up at the handsome wizard's face, but up close, Harry thought he looked rather weak and foolish. The witch was wearing a vapid smile like a beauty contestant, and from what Harry knew of goblins and centaurs, they were the most unlikely to be caught staring this soppily at humans of any description. Only the house elf's attitude of creeping servility looked convincing. With a grin at the thought of what Hermione would say if she could see the statue of the elf, Harry turned his money bag upside down and emptied not just 10 gallons, but the whole contents into the pool at the statue's feet. Maybe we'll stop them. We'll continue tomorrow with more of Tiffany. Thank you.